The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Vertical Journeys Podcast, where we'll dive into topics like my personal climbing journey, battling my fear of heights, the ethical responsibilities we as climbers bear, and climbing culture. Join us as we ascend into the fascinating world of climbing, one grip at a time. Hi, this is Vertical Journeys Podcast, and I'm your host, Squash. Today, we're delving deep into the history of climbing in the USA and the evolution of climbing styles and ethics throughout climbing history. It's impossible to talk about US climbing without talking about Yosemite, the iconic climbing destination that's left its mark on climbing history in a big way. With the legendary granite walls like El Cap and Half Dome, and history-shaping climbers like Royal Robbins and Warren Harding, the history of Yosemite climbing has had an incredible impact on how we view climbing today. Yosemite National Park covers nearly 750,000 acres of pristine wilderness, but is perhaps best known for its stunning granite formations and the sport of rock climbing. Throughout the park's history, climbers have ventured to Yosemite to test their skills and push the limits of the sport. Two individuals in particular, Warren Harding and Royal Robbins, played pivotal roles in the development of Yosemite climbing and left their marks on the history books. Rock climbing in Yosemite dates back to the late 19th century, but it wasn't until the 20th century that the sport truly began to take shape. The first recorded ascent of Half Dome, one of Yosemite's iconic formations, occurred in 1875, and it laid the foundation for future climbing pursuits. However, the sport was still in its infancy and lacked the technical equipment and knowledge that climbers have today. Warren Harding, born in 1924, became one of Yosemite's most legendary climbers. He was instrumental in the development of aid climbing techniques, which allowed climbers to tackle routes previously considered impossible. Harding's most famous achievement was the first ascent of El Capitan's Nose route in 1958, a climb that took 47 days. This feat, known as the Wall of Early Morning Light, was a landmark achievement that ushered in a new era of climbing in Yosemite and beyond. Harding's adventurous spirit and relentless pursuit of unclimbed routes were a hallmark of his career. He opened many new routes in the park, which further expanded the possibilities for climbers. Warren Harding's legacy in the climbing community is complex, and he is often remembered as an outcast. While he made significant contributions to the sport, his unconventional style and controversial choices made him a polarizing figure in the climbing world. Harding's climbing style was unconventional for his time. He was a pioneer of aid climbing techniques using pitons, bolts, and other hardware to progress on challenging routes. He would also use fixed lines to ascend and descend from a route, only to continue at his high point the very next day. This approach was seen by some as a departure from the clean climbing ethics of the time, which emphasized minimal impact on the rock and the environment, and a ground-up approach. Despite all of this, Harding left a unique mark on Yosemite and accomplished feats in the valley that at the time were seen as impossible. In contrast to Warren Harding, Royal Robbins brought a different approach to Yosemite climbing. Robbins was a proponent of clean climbing, emphasizing the use of removable protection or clean gear to minimize environmental impact. His famous 1957 climb of Half Dome's northwest face, achieved without using expansion bolts or pitons, marked a turning point in the ethics of climbing. Robbins, who was known for his meticulous planning and technical expertise, made many significant contributions to Yosemite climbing. He was an advocate for climbing in a style that respected the rock and its natural features, setting a standard for ethics in the climbing community. His climbs, such as the first ascent of El Cap's Salathe Wall in 1961, demonstrated that challenging routes could be climbed using only removable protection. And his influence on the sport is one that we still see echoing throughout the climbing world today. The Yosemite climbing community has witnessed several significant eras that have left its individual mark on the sport. One of the most iconic and transformative periods in Yosemite climbing history was the Stone Monkeys era. The Stone Monkeys era, spanning the 1960s and 1970s, represents a pivotal period when a group of pioneering climbers challenged conventional wisdom and pushed the boundaries of the sport. The Stone Monkeys were a loose collective of climbers who emerged as a counterculture movement within the climbing community. The group included notable figures like Jim Birdwell, Dale Bard, and Yvon Chouinard, the now owner of Patagonia. Rejecting the formalities of traditional climbing, the Stone Monkeys adopted a more laid-back, anti-establishment ethos, which drew inspiration from the broader cultural shifts of the 1960s. The Stone Monkeys made significant contributions to the technical aspects of climbing, most notably in the use of protection and hardware. Their willingness to experiment with pitons, nuts, and chalk for aid climbing, along with boulder free climbing techniques, paved the way for advancement in big wall and free climbing, which, often mistaken for free solo climbing, is simply climbing the rock with a rope, but without the use of ladders or fixed gear to aid in one's way up the wall. Their innovative approaches led to greater route accessibility and opened new possibilities for ascents in Yosemite and beyond. The Stone Monkeys era brought about profound cultural changes in the climbing community. They aligned with the counterculture spirit of the late 1960s, questioning societal norms and authority. Their free-spirited approach to climbing was a reflection of the broader cultural changes occurring in the United States at the time. Rejecting the rules and constraints of the climbing establishment, the Stone Monkeys celebrated the adventure and personal freedom of climbing. Their exploits in Yosemite symbolized a rejection of conventional lifestyles and a thirst for the unconventional. The Stone Monkeys era in Yosemite climbing history was a defining period in the sport's evolution. Beyond the technical advancements, the Stone Monkeys represented a spirit of adventure, of individualism, and cultural transformation that resonates with climbers today. The Yosemite decibel system is a widely recognized and used grading system for rating the difficulty of hiking, rock climbing, and mountaineering routes in North America. The system has undergone several modifications and evolutions since its inception, reflecting the changing landscape of outdoor sports and the increasing diversity and complexity of the routes. As climbing techniques and equipment improved, routes became increasingly challenging, and in the late 1960s, the Yosemite decimal system was extended to include the 5-10 grade. This eventually led to further decimal subdivisions, 510A, B, C, D, and then starting over again at 511A. With the advancements in training protocols and technological analysis, today, the hardest climbing route sits at 515D, a grade that was simply unimaginable at the time. The next Yosemite era was that of the Stone Masters, which emerged in the 1970s and 80s. The Stone Masters included legendary climbers such as John Backer, John Long, Lynn Hale, and Jim Birdwell, who previously was merely a student of legendary climbers of the Stone Monkeys era, was now the leading member of the new generation. The Stone Masters were known for their unconventional approach to climbing, with a boldness that had never been seen before, and a drive to make their individual impact on climbing history like their predecessors. The climbing world exploded with the impact of the Stone Masters. The Stonemasters played a pivotal role in advancing free climbing, a style that relies on physical techniques and no reliance on artificial aids. The Stonemasters redefined the ethics of climbing. They were proponents of clean climbing, emphasizing minimal impact on the rock and the environment. This approach was a direct response to the overuse of pitons and bolts in the previous eras and contributed to a more sustainable and respectful approach to climbing. The Stonemasters era witnessed a flurry of groundbreaking ascents. John Backer's solo climbs on routes like Backer Yarrian on Medlicott Dome demonstrated unparalleled skill and self-reliance. Jim Birdwell's first ascent of the Pacific Ocean Wall on El Cap in 1975 showcased just how daring the new generation was willing to be. The climbers of this era and the culture they created went beyond the walls of Yosemite. They celebrated individualism, risk-taking, and pushing personal boundaries. The Stonemasters era also saw the emergence of influential female climbers such as Lynn Hill. Their contributions to the sport and their ability to compete at the highest levels helped challenge gender norms in climbing. The 1990s witnessed a remarkable era in the history of climbing. This decade was characterized by increased training and fitness, the rising popularity of sport climbing, and remarkable achievements that continue to inspire climbers today. The 1990s saw a notable shift towards increased training and physical fitness among climbers. This shift was influenced by advancements in training methodologies, better understanding of climbing-specific exercises, and an evolving perception of climbing as a competitive sport. Climbers began to incorporate structured training regimens to enhance their strength, endurance, and overall climbing performance. Sport climbing, a discipline where climbers clip into pre-placed bolts and protection as they ascend, gained immense popularity during the 90s. This contrasted with the traditional multi-pitch climbing, which required placing one's own protection. The advent of sport climbing fostered a more accessible and less gear-dependent style of climbing, attracting a new generation of climbers and allowing climbers to push the grades in a relatively safe manner. The most iconic achievement of the 1990s was Lynn Hill's groundbreaking free ascent of the nose on El Cap in 1993. Hill's ascent marked a watershed moment in climbing history. She became the first person to free climb the nose, a route previously thought to be unclimbable without aid. Hill's extraordinary physical and mental strength, combined with her unwavering determination, reshaped the boundaries of what was considered possible in climbing. Lynn's free ascent of the nose on El Cap was not just remarkable for its technical difficulty and physical requirements, it carried profound social and cultural significance. As a female climber, her achievement shattered long-standing gender stereotypes within the climbing community and beyond. Hill's ascent was a defining moment in the history of not only Yosemite climbing, but also the broader world of sports. Before Hill's ascent, the nose was considered an impossible challenge. Its immense height and complex series of pitches made it an elusive goal for even the most skilled climbers. For years, the climbing community held its collective breath, waiting for the next person to free climb it after Hill's monumental achievement. It took almost a decade before another climber managed to replicate her climb, and since then, only 9 others have achieved the same feat. Yosemite National Park, with its towering granite walls and rich climbing history, has witnessed the evolution of climbing culture and ethics through the years. Climbers like Warren Harding, Royal Robbins, Jim Birdwell, and Lynn Hill have profoundly impacted the sport and left a lasting legacy that continues to shape the climbing world today. Climbing culture and ethics have evolved significantly over time, influenced by the iconic achievements and unique approaches of these climbers. Today, the climbing culture in Yosemite reflects a diverse and dynamic community. Modern climbers continue to push the boundaries of the sport, drawing inspiration from the innovations and pioneering spirits of their predecessors. The ethics of climbing have evolved toward greater environmental awareness and sustainability. While debates about ethics and styles persist, the collective commitment to respecting the natural world and preserving climbing areas remains a common thread in climbing culture.